I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus with the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Hearty welcome. Good to see you here this morning as we have gathered to worship together. I'd like to begin reading a few verses of Scripture out of Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let us begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love, and how it endureth from generation to generation. And Lord, this morning, we have gathered here as brothers and sisters in the Lord to serve, to worship you. And Father, we pray that your Spirit would just move amongst us. Just pray, Lord, that your will may be accomplished and that our time together will have the stamp of your approval upon it. Father, this morning we just give of ourselves, surrender our hearts, and pray in humbleness, Lord, just help us. And we need strength to carry on. Father, we thank you for what you will do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll have some songs.
And your blue hymnbook, 243, Rock of Ages. 243. For those who are able, let's stand for this. Pearly gates will open. 483.
Mm-hmm.
When we all get to heaven, 501. 501.
Oh, you'll have to share with mine here. Down A.
Sing,
Thank you for that hearty singing. Trusting, serving Jesus. And when we all get to heaven, what a wonderful time it'll be. The theme of this message this morning is serving the Lord with joy. Psalm 100 says in verse 2, and that is the verse that I chose, the Lord leading me to share this as a theme of the service this morning. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Serving the Lord with gladness. We are commanded to serve and worship God, but we are to do it joyfully. Do it joyfully. God's love and his light that shines into our heart is the ultimate cause for joy and fulfillment as we give of ourselves to serve the Lord. And at that point, it becomes a natural thing. And it is because who we are in Christ. And so when we understand that, we will realize that serving the Lord is truly a joy. It shouldn't be a burden. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a ministerial retreat in Winkler in the church, and we were there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we had a number of sessions, and one of the speakers, one of our pastors, I don't remember who, but he said, he made a point, and I got thinking about that, and he said, ministry should never weary us. And if it does, if serving the Lord becomes a burden, then possibly we need to look at, so what's the stumbling block? Why would it be that way? I'm reminded of Jesus. You see, when he was risen from the grave, and we find that at the very end of his ministry here on earth, and he's seen by his disciples. His disciples were with him. The testimony of the empty tomb, the witnesses of the women that seen Jesus. And Jesus tells his disciples to go up to Galilee, up into the mountain, and he's going to meet them there. And he did. These were his disciples that were with him. And it says, when they had worshipped him, it says, and some doubted. Some doubted. So why would they doubt? They had been with the Master. They had seen the scars in his hands and his feet, and they doubted. And when we think about serving the Lord, what comes to mind is sometimes, is there an element of doubt as we serve the Lord? Do we truly walk in faith? These disciples had seen him. They'd been with him. And they were up on the mountain together, and it says, and some doubted. We want to just move on that this morning and simply try to understand what causes us to sometimes be weary in serving the Lord. And there can be different elements. You know, sometimes we are just, I remember back in the day when we were involved in Sunday school, and we were involved in youth, and we were involved in the board, and we were involved in the music nights, and Brother Kent can speak to that. We were together with that back in the day. And we were involved in a lot of things, and I don't say that to pipe my own whistle. But I come to realize that in all of that, there really wasn't a joy in serving the Lord. We've become so busy doing good things that our relationship with Jesus Christ is somewhat shallow. And we find ourselves sometimes getting into a situation like that where serving the Lord really isn't fulfilling. And we get robbed of blessings and we get robbed of opportunities that come before us. But what it comes down to is sometimes, where is our relationship with Jesus Christ? How do we cultivate that relationship? And why does my service to God sometimes so bear down and weigh down on my spirit? Serving our Master is a divine calling. And there is no need that we should be feeling defeated or even come to the point of failure. We need to tap into the right source if we're going to do it faithfully. And Jesus, we know at the very end of his ministry here on earth, he left the disciples and he left the church with a great commission. And he says, in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, and he's speaking to his disciples before he ascended to heaven, and he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. The promise of Christ himself, a very familiar scripture that I'm thinking most of us know off by heart, but there's some very important points in this portion of scripture that we want to take out. It says, all power is given unto me. God has given Jesus Christ authority. And then he goes on and he says, teach all nations. Teach all nations. All power is given unto me. Teach all nations. Teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them to observe all things. And he says, and lo, I am with you always. He doesn't say that I will be with you. He says, I am. I am. That's who God is. And Jesus makes this promise because the authority he has been given from his Father. And that is the source that we want to tap in to. We see that there, the Great Commission is a simple command with three steps. And I want us to take note of that this morning. First, it is to evangelize. To evangelize. And secondly, it is to baptize. And then it is to educate. Educate. It says, teach them to observe all things. You see, Christ has left his church, the bride, with a commission. The Great Commission to reach out to the world. And he talks about authority, total authority, all power. And he talks about all nations. And he brings about the scope of work. You see, when we are given an assignment, whether it's in school or whether it's at work, we've been given a scope of work so that we know what we are to do, right? And that's what we go by. And then he says, teach them to observe all things. He gives us a substance of that service to God. And so we realize that the Great Commission begins when God's people make themselves available to reach out to a dying world. That's when God's commission, the Great Commission that Jesus has given us, goes into effect. It's drawing near to the heart of God and trying to understand what God is trying to teach us, what Christ is trying to teach us. Jesus left his loved ones with an amazing task. He says, go. Go. He left them with a command that would cause them to reach out beyond themselves. And I truly believe that's where God has us this morning. He's asking us to reach out beyond ourselves. How do we do that? How do we go about life? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And we know what the rest of the scripture says. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. So in order for us to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to have the first commandment in place. We need to be able to understand what that teaches us. If our relationship with God is not current, is not in tune, we will have a difficult time loving our neighbor, won't we? Because the first important thing is our relationship between God. That needs to be current. That needs to be correct. But then it is our relationship between us and our neighbor. But what we really want to focus on this morning is that first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. What does that look like? How would you understand that we would do that? You see, it cannot be based on our current circumstances because they change. They change all the time. But the question that we must ask ourselves, is loving God an emotion? Is it an emotion or is it a feeling? Or is it a decision that we make that that's what we're going to do? Are we going to be deliberate about it, doing it intentionally? That's what Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Why does he separate those three? He doesn't include the spirit, but he says your heart, soul, and mind. You see, the heart is not what our fleshly heart. But the heart is the person. It's the being that God created. It's the part that brings the physical and the spiritual together. That's the heart. Then he talks about the soul. And so the soul is what God breathed into that being, that human being. That is the soul of man. And it originates from God and will live forever. I hope you follow me. And then we have the mind. The mind has an ability to think and to reason. And so it is important for us that those three work together in serving the Lord. And it will be done in love. It will not be done because that is what is required of me now that I have received God's grace. No, it's just the other way around. We do that out of love, not out of obligation. And so when we love the Lord with our heart, our soul, and our mind, we need to be covered by his spirit. And I want to get into this a little bit this morning. When we think about being covered by the Spirit of God, except the Spirit of God is in us, our service to Almighty God is going to be somewhat empty. And we might almost feel like a failure. Possibly standing in the rubble of good intentions. And we just feel that serving God has become somewhat of a of a burden. And the psalmist says, do it with joy. Do it with gladness. That's the heart of God. And Christ calls us to love the Lord. to love the Lord. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself. And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You see, when we try to accomplish our service to God, we need to give our heart, our soul, and our mind, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then we will find peace. Then we find joy in serving him. But if we try to do it in our own efforts, they fail us. And as I said before, sometimes we may go home having served the Lord and we feel like, this has been a failure. I really don't feel complete. I feel so undone. I want to say this morning. Failure is not final. Failure is not final. Failure is a fact of life. But failure is not a way of life. And we need to understand that. We will fail. We will fail and continue to fail. But we don't need to stay there. We need to get up. We need to rise. Move on, forward, serving the Lord. It says in Psalm verse 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The joy of walking the path is a process that takes place. It doesn't happen overnight, but as we walk with the Lord, he will continue to show us and he will continue to direct us to our next level. And so it is important that we understand that even though we fail sometimes, we still need to reach out. We need to allow the Spirit to empower our heart, soul, and mind so that we can continue to serve him and that we will do it joyfully. And if we're not finding joy in serving the Lord, there is an emptiness that is going on that needs to be filled. That ought to be filled, and it ought to be the heart that's being filled. And sometimes we reach out trying to reach that goal where we are going to find satisfaction in serving the Lord. There was a sign that said, it said, free gas tomorrow. Oh, we like to hear that, don't we? Free gas tomorrow. And the person that saw that, he figured, okay, I'm going to come back and I'm going to have some free gas tomorrow. And he comes back, and that sign is still standing there and it says, free gas tomorrow. You see, unless something changes, it will always remain out of reach. We'll never get there. And I share that simply to say it's a heart. Unless something changes in the heart, we will never come to the point where we feel that joy. We might be serving, but if we're not experiencing that joy in serving God, possibly we're waiting for that free gas, if you will. And it's in my strength and your strength that we can accomplish it by the power of the Holy Spirit as we give of ourselves our heart, our soul, and our mind. You see, the body can accomplish a lot of things. We have a mind to think that through, but unless we tap in that source that Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, and it is given by the Father, we will feel somewhat undone, incomplete. It is important for us to receive God's grace in totality. God's grace in totality. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by grace, together with Christ, by grace are ye saved." By grace are ye saved. God's righteousness was accounted unto my account, was added to my account. And we have become a new person in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it says, "Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." In righteousness and true holiness. I want to encourage us this morning, friends, if you feel that you failed, rise up. I want to turn to the book of Jonah this morning. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. When we think about Jonah, we think about the big whale. The big whale that swallowed Jonah when he refused to go to Nineveh. But in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 are a few very important verses. And it says, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." The second time. "Saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." What I want to draw out of these few verses is the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. You see, friends, when we fail and somewhat maybe turn our own way, God doesn't write us off. Isn't that a blessing? You and I would be in trouble if God would write us off. But it says he came to Jonah the second time. God is a God that gives us another opportunity. To me, that verse has become very important, and I don't want to live by it, but we need to understand that if we have not intentionally turned away from what God is calling us, he will give us another opportunity. That's the God we serve. In Psalm 100 verse 5, I want to get back to our opening scripture. It says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting." Isn't that a blessing? His mercy is everlasting. And it says, "And his truth endureth to all generation." That's our only hope if we want to continue to serve. Are we going to have it all down pat after this morning? I don't think so, because we're human. I won't, but it's always, I need to have my zeal. That's what I'm striving for. John 15, verse 16, Jesus says, John 15, verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." I believe it is because of Christ's appointment on our hearts and lives that we are called to serve. It's not our choice by our human nature, but because of Christ's appointment. And that makes the difference of why we serve and the joy that we get out of serving. Jesus is calling us to take up a mission, his mission of love and compassionate service to those he puts in our path. And we can make a difference in the kingdom of God. How do we do that? How do we go about the Great Commission? We teach them to know him. We teach them to know him. That's part of discipleship. to know Christ. We teach them to love him. We teach them to submit to him. That's the Great Commission. And it calls those who have received that grace to take up the task. And it teaches, and we teach them to follow him. Very important points as we think about that. We teach them to know him, to love him, to submit to him, and to follow him. You may be here this morning, you wonder what God's plan is for your next step in your journey. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, God says, Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. God says, ask of me. Are we ready? Are we ready to ask the Lord where he wants us to be? He's not calling us to just be at home and just within our own confines and be comfortable. He's calling us to reach out beyond who we are so that the Spirit of God can empower the heart, the soul, and the mind. You see, when we have that puzzle together, when we have that picture in place, you and I will be able to do great and mighty things. Because we are empowered because of our love for the Lord. And Jesus is very particular. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. When we think about that, then it really tells us that we must let go of some of the material things that take up so much time and so much space, if you will. Because we know that when the things of life, and they're not wrong to have, but when the things of life crowd into our heart, the Spirit of God leaves. Yes, God blesses us individually in one way or another. But we need to understand that we weigh out the balance so that the Spirit of God can work through us. And brothers and sisters, that is my prayer this morning, that we can, as a congregation, move forward and allow the love of God to direct our path, shine on our path his light and love and grace. And God is going to do great and mighty things. It is my prayer for each one of us here this morning. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, this morning, closing of this service, we are so thankful that you have chosen us, that you have counted us worthy. And yet, when we look at our own failures, sometimes feeling so undone, we realize that we are unworthy servants, yet you are looking to the church, your bride, to portray a message to the world who is in search of hope, of hope. And Lord, that we would be able to do it with joy, with gladness. Father, we know that your word is very clear, that we need to love you with our whole heart, soul, and mind, empowered by the Spirit, so the truth of your word can reach out to those. And Lord, we realize that we need to draw near unto you, as the writer of Hebrews teaches us. receiving that source of strength that can break down all the barriers that cause us to stumble, that cause us to doubt. As the disciples, they had been with you, Lord. They saw the nail prints in your hands, and they saw the nail prints in your feet. They knew the grave was empty. They had heard the witnesses of these women, and yet, it says, and they doubted. Some doubted. Father, help us that we would not be as those who doubt, but that we have that assurance that you are there, and not that you will be there, but that you are there for us at all times. Because the words that you uttered to the disciples back before you ascended to heaven are as powerful as they are to us, are still as powerful to us as they were to them at that time. And so, Lord, we just pray, help us. Help us to be faithful to that calling. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon each one that is here this morning, and help us to part in peace, serving you with joy and gladness. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give each one the opportunity, for those who are able, to go and bend a knee. When you feel that your service to God seems somewhat of a drag, let's just pour out our hearts to him. And he can change us. Those of you who are able, just kneel with me in silent word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. There is one announcement that I'd like to make here this morning. I should say a few announcements. Bible study is Wednesday at 7:30. Encourage you to come if you can. Youth is at 7:30. Bring your youth. And the other thing that I wanted to announced here this morning is on March 2nd, which is Thursday night at 7:30, March 2nd, we plan to have a prayer meeting where we want to invite all the whole congregation, brothers and sisters in the Lord. I encourage you all to attend. So that's March 2nd at 7:30. We'll try to put it in the bulletin so that we'll have it for next time. Just a reminder. I want to close the service this morning. I want to thank you all for coming. And I want to close with the benediction. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Amen. You may now go in peace with the Lord.